women have a tendency, obviously because they still do most of the care work, to not come back to the labor market full force. I have the impression young women often take those decisions without figuring on the long term, what does that do to my career? What does that do to my financial independence?
Welcome to Get Inspired, your podcast to feel connected, empowered, and inspired by stories of managing parenthood with successful careers. Petra von Stromberg is CEO at New Work SE, who manage brands like Zing and Kununu. She was always clear that she wanted a career as well as children, and in the many management positions that she has held, she's made it easier for other parents to do the same. What she has to say today is an important wake-up call to anyone who has children or is thinking about becoming a parent. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over now to our host, Ricarda Engelmeier, to get the conversation started.
Petra, welcome to my collective. I'm so excited that you're with us. I'll start with a short introduction. Our guest today is Petra von Stromberg, and she is the CEO of New Work SE. Most of you will probably know it with the brands Xing and Kununu. And in her previous work, she's been the CEO of at Lotto24, but also a member of the executive board at Tip24, and previously a head of e-commerce at Chibo, and various other positions that I'm not going to count on here. But I'm really excited that you are here with us today. Welcome, Petra, to my collective.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Petra, we both met at a conference sometime back, and I have a vivid memory of our long discussion about your own parental leave and how that has influenced the way that you've sort of developed your career that I've just now, in a very short summary, sort of summed up, and that took you to where you are today. And I remember two elements that I would love to discuss with you today. If you can share a little bit of how you did it yourself, but also of how you now, from the CEO perspective, of how you now also implementing this in your own environment, and not necessarily only in your job environment and in your company, but also across the board. And I think there are lots of levers that I remember from back then that we've touched upon, but maybe let's get started with your personal experience. If you can share maybe a little bit of how you have started your journey as a parent, and so let's say parenting and career. And maybe I know your kids are no babies anymore. I think they're already, 15, 20?
They're exactly 16 and 20. So my kids are, 20. My daughter has already left the house. And so my parental leave times are some 20 years ago. So
okay.
I'm happy to share what I experienced, because I think it's that there are still many comparable things of what happens today to young women. And I'm really happy to be here today, because I think there is a tremendous lack of role models and exchange on those issues. And this is why I volunteered actually to join this group and talk here, because it's important for me to talk to young women. And that's what I continuously do in many rounds. So let's maybe start with my personal experience.
Actually, yes.
The fun already started back then, and you have to figure that that's 20 years ago. So the fun already started when I got pregnant and told my employer at the time that I was pregnant, because I was literally in front of the next career step. And what then happened was really, I would say, a classic, because the HR department kept telling me, well, now that you're pregnant, go to your parental leave and then we'll see. And I was saying, no, I'll be back in 4 months and I want a new position now. And I want to step up when I come back. That's what we agreed on. So make sure we'll do that. Yeah, well, let's see, et cetera, et cetera. So it was really, I mean, it took me weeks to convince them, and I had to do very harsh statements to make sure that this then actually happened. And it worked out. I went to France as a general manager of a French group, then as a next career step, coming from e-com, head of e-com, or leader of the e-com team at Chibo. And I went to France. And actually, that really helped my perception also on how to juggle career and baby and and parental issues, because in France, the perception is quite different. It's perfectly normal in Paris that people start working after 6 weeks. So nobody looked at me bizarrely, or nobody blamed me for working after 3 months and coming back to my job and working full time. That was just completely normal. And through, we organized with a nanny and had a network of parents so that we could jump in if something happens. And that was really the crucial point, to organize yourself a network and different layers of setups. If you're really working hard in a demanding job, you definitely need that. This experience in France helped me when coming back and being pregnant with my second child. I then was confronted with the German environment that you are all in, and where the perception is definitely very different. I had at the time, 20 years ago, a kindergarten that closed at 1. No daycare. So I had to organize with a nanny again in Germany, and a network of parents and moms, et cetera, et cetera, including my ex-husband at the time, obviously husband. And so we kind of organized as a team to make it happen. But it was really the perception of the other mothers that made the huge difference. And I think in Germany, the mothers are the most critical when it comes to working moms. And obviously, it's the decision of everybody whether you want to work much or part-time or not at all. Everybody should choose for himself. But I think there is little acceptance for models where you work 100 times. You're either a Rabenmutter or you're the perfect mother. And at least at the time, I thought it was really good to have that French experience that helped me see that in other countries it's different, and that I'm not necessarily a bad mother just because I work full time. So far, for the snapshot of my personal experience.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because I had a very similar experience, because I also had we had our first two children in India, and then coming back to Munich into a corporate setting, and had our third child here in Munich, and out of a sudden this cultural shock, I would say, or reverse shock, sort of reaches, and these voices of, I would say, the other mothers come up. But actually, I've realized that there's also a lot of inner voices that come. It's not necessarily always the other mothers that claim you, or other people calling you Rabenmutter. It's actually you yourself calling yourself that. And I think, do you have maybe a practical tip, because once you were back in Germany, or maybe even when you were in France, how do you calm, and or did you even have that inner voice in yourself, because you actually left as a German mother, right? And so did this inner voice accompany you? Was that still there, or how do you make it shut up, or at least have a different message?
Well, my obviously everybody has that inner voice, and there are times of doubt when you work hard and you see your baby not as much as you want to, or whatever. I mean, you can't stop that inner voice. But I was always convinced that I opted for the life that made me happy, and that a baby needs a happy mom. And if I'm happy because I work, that's my personal decision to do so, and it's better for the two, for the both of us, or the three of us if you consider the two kids, if I'm happy with what I do. And so for me, that was the best choice, and gave me the balance also to be there for my kids and be a happy mom.
Yeah. So instead of happy wife, happy life, it's happy life, happy baby, so to say. Yeah, that's great. And Bira, you also mentioned at the very beginning that you had, when you sort of discussed with your manager that you wanted to get back into the next career step, and you said you had agreed on something. Did you agree on that career step before pregnancy, and then the pregnancy sort of came in between, and then you had this next career, or the next career step after the parental leave? Or did you, when was this agreement done? Because I think that's a very critical point, because we quite often see people going on a horizontal move afterwards, or being happy to go back to the same job that they had before, even though they actually had a plan to proceed. How did that exactly happen?
Well, actually, I gave up my old role, and we agreed on the new before I left.
Yeah. I mean, we see that as
the break was only short anyway. So so I was only gone for four months and then started in a new role.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that's you're quite a trailblazer there, because what we've seen when we started with My Collective is that we sort of looked at most of our participants were always saying we try to get back to the same job and keep the job, right? Keeping the job is sort of the guy, but actually it's continuing to rise the way that you had originally intended to. And I think it's something that quite a lot of people who've just, let's say, reached a new position or a new level, then maybe you do stay when you come back. But if you have already been in this position, at this level, you actually want to continue, you might as well negotiate for getting back. And then this break comes in quite handy, because you can do a proper handover. There is someone else who takes the job. You can take, and then it doesn't really matter how long you take parental leave, as long as you have the next position already fixed, right? So that is something that we see quite often. And then we also try to kind of, maybe collect the courage and keep the self-esteem during parental time to come back. Do you see this?
I mean, otherwise you have a real drawback in your career, just because you are the one having the babies. I mean, if you get back to the same job, then you wait for another year to get a promotion. If you do that three times in a row, because you have three children, obviously you are on a completely different level in your career than if you hadn't had kids.
Hmm. What would be the kind of arguments that you would suggest to someone who wants to convince their manager or their superior to give them a promotion once they come back from parental leave?
Well, actually, I mean, obviously the qualifying bit has to be done in the job before. That's clear. So you have to make sure that everybody has the visibility of your performance before. And then the argument is, I think that parenting actually increases your skill set. and I'm really convinced that this is true. So I think whatever your qualification was, if you are up to the level that you can then get another job on a different level, parenting will increase your skill set to make you even more capable of having that next job.
Yeah, that's very true.
The question that women then get, which men never get, is how do you organize? Mm-hmm. So I'm prepared to give a good answer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a whole lot of organization at home as well. But there's also, I mean, on the company side, is like, how well is that perceived? How well is the company sort of, let's say, open for this kind of negotiation? Which brings me to the point, now that you are the CEO of a company that in the word itself, new work is open for these kind of concepts. How do you drive diversity in your environment, in your professional environment? What are the kind of tips that you give when you go to your women networks and when you talk to people in your company as well?
Well, I mean, actually, I mean, if you look at new work, we have some 42 nationalities, I think. We have offices, many different locations. We have, I think, 42% women, given that we are a tech company. I think that's okay-ish. We also have a lot of women in leadership positions working part-time. We have very flexible part-time rules. So basically you can decide on what to which degree you want to come back and what is the perfect number of hours you want to work and how you can change that flexibly. We leave it to the teams to organize themselves. So there is also a lot of flexibility in how they structure their days, their meetings, their whatever. And we are a very empathetic and caring company. So if somebody has a new baby, we can obviously support with meetings, etc., to be jungled around whatever in the respective team. So I think we give a framework that makes it possible to come back to work early, to not lose track, and to eventually step up in the career also. Because you asked, what do I preach? We have actually a network of young women that has been founded by young women in our organization that link basically the young women in all those locations. And we had a starting event where I was the keynote speaker also. And what I told them is that they really should consider their financial independence and their career choices, and and discuss that with their husbands, because women are not just victims of the surroundings and the lack of childcare or whatever. It starts very individually in the respective family. If you decide to stay home for a long term time and your husband doesn't, I mean, why don't we negotiate to do it 50-50? I mean, obviously that's the choice of everybody how you want to handle, but people, or I have the impression young women often take those decisions without figuring on the long term, what does that do to my career? What does that do to my financial independence? And all I'm preaching always is take those decisions with and think twice. And if you decide then to do so, that's perfectly fine. But be aware of what those choices do with your career path and with your financial independence.
What do they do? What does it do? It's a lack.
If we look at some numbers.
Let's look at numbers.
They are actually from the Federal Ministry of Labor. I mean, if you look at the total employees in Germany, for example, that are based on Social Security, so not the freelancers, etc., but the Social Security workers, the share of women is only just 1/3. If you look at for the full-time workers, if you look at the part-time workers, the share of women is roughly 80%. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the marginal employed, it's 65% women. So you see that women have a tendency, obviously, because they still do most of the care work, to not come back to the labor market full force. And that's actually, I think, also for us as an economy and for every company, that's spoiling so many talented people that our workforce could profit from. I mean, we all know that by demographics, Germany is losing about 1,000 workers per day for the next years until 2035. We will be losing 5 million people of our workforce. And that's a drama. And we have to make sure altogether that we raise that bar. And very practically, 38% of women in Germany are heading for a pension of less than 1,000 euro.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just think for a second that you are in a long-term relationship. Everything looks fine, but at some point that breaks up. I mean, if you look at the divorce rates, it's a 50-50 chance that this is going to happen or not. So eventually you are stuck at some point in time. You haven't worked or only work part-time. How do you get back to a job where you earn your living, earn a decent living, and compensate financially what you have lacked in the last years?
So what are the elements that are actually missing? So it's the loss of income during the parental leave. Then it's the loss of income in the part-time job if you are going part-time. And it's both of that in the pension, right? The reduction, both of this is going to reduce your pension. And then ultimately, you're right, then we don't have to be surprised that 70% of the old age poverty is female, right? So that's
the missing career steps. I mean,
exactly.
Like I just said, if you don't do the career steps as the male counterparts, because they are not staying home, not working part time, and they are doing those career steps, obviously the salary raises won't be the same either. So it's a triple whopper.
It's a triple whopper. Well, on that positive note, what can or should be done? Because if this is a triple whopper, we know there's a 50% chance that of divorce rate, if you look at the statistics, there is 60-70% that people are going part-time. What needs to be discussed then? What exactly do you need to put on the table? Is it back to job or is it back to career? And what else? Or is it sharing mental load and sharing care work or all of the above?
I mean, the thing is, I mean, it's still the women still today that are doing most of the care work and are carrying all the mental load. I mean, you all know about that if you have small children, some of you have a second child. I mean, whether it's doctor's appointments, birthday gifts for classmates or whatever else, it's usually the women that organize the whole life. And that's something that is probably difficult to share. So what I would really recommend is, I mean, do those choices, as I said, think twice, negotiate them with your partners. I mean, is there a solution where both work 75% rather than 150 and 100? And also negotiate eventually in a contract on how you handle after a divorce or separation.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not a romantic thing, of course, but it's it's a bare necessity. A marriage is a contract and has a lot of financial consequences. And in, you are all businesswomen. You negotiate contracts every day, but we don't do that in private. And that's an error.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And then again, it sort of, it has a personal implication, but it also has an economic implication, right? As you said, that this is, I mean, maybe to say it's very difficult to negotiate these kind of deals once you just have a newborn baby, but maybe before, or like when sort of, you know, at one point of time, there needs to be a time that that comes there. Because in a way, us as a society and as economy, we see that if you get away from the individual examples of a happy couple with a baby and you look at the statistics, you see that almost nobody does it, right? And people are going into either leaving the job labor force or not coming back on the career track. I think the second sort of, let's say, biggest is sort of going on part-time and then not starting again from part-time to kind of say, okay, after 5 years, I'm going to try to get back on the career track. Doesn't necessarily need to be 100%, but can be more. And also maybe the third element is, if we're all looking at the lack of skilled labor in our society, there are a lot of mothers mostly, and women out there who have left the labor market, but actually would like to come back. And I think there are three different pockets that are totally untapped resources for us as an economy and us as a society that definitely need to be looked at. Yes, that's very true. Once you talk about financial independence of women, how do you, you said that it's the care work and the mental load. Is there a way on how to address that also from a company perspective? Or is that something that stays in the private?
I mean, from a company perspective, you can give flexibility, and there are some companies that that offer childcare facilities. But actually, when we do a lot of votings in New York, and we ask our employees what do they prefer. And for example, when we moved in our new headquarters, we gave the choice between childcare facilities or a gym. and believe it or not, the choice was taken for a gym. And what they told me when I asked why that was the case is that they said they live in a certain environment. And it's much better for the kids to be closer to home in a kindergarten, where they then have their friends, their network, their everything, instead of being next to the office at the other end of town eventually, which I thought was a good and understandable argument. What really can be done from a company side is to offer the flexibility and all the things I've already talked about, to accept tandem leadership, part-time leadership, to make sure you offer all kind of models, whatever is required hour-wise. But I think the care and mental load part has to be organized in a network of people, or in a couple, or whatever, whoever is in that group,
village,
together, but can't be taken over by companies, to be honest.
Yeah. So that really means that these innovative, fluid work models on the company side need innovative and fluid care models that can be addressed and attached to it, and potentially also a solution for the mental load. I really very much like that, because that's what we at my colleague, we always call it the golden triangle of these sort of three topics: mental load, and care models and working models. Peter, thank you so much for putting that out there straight out and giving some really hands-on advice. Can I ask you one very last question that we always ask our impulse speakers, is because what we do is in our trainings and in our entire approach, is we see this time as a challenge, let's just say, for a career, but also as something that is really fantastic. And you said it yourself, parenting skills are leadership skills. So my last question to you is, which parenting skill is your favorite parenting skill that you converted into a leadership skill? And can you share that with us?
It's actually, I think, what I see with all those young women that then come back, they are so good in organization and prioritization because they have to get things sorted, and obviously to juggle both, and you are all in that situation right now, a job or restarting work and a kid at home, that needs prioritization and organization, and I think they're really strong in that.
Yes. Thank you so much. And I hope you stay with us for a bit of a question and answer session in the group. Thanks so much.